It's Friday night. It's the preview show. It's the No Nay Never podcast.
Hello and welcome to the preview show brought to you by the No Nay Never podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Bromley, but joining me is the main man himself, the headliner of the preview show, and that is, of course, Mr. Dave Statman Roberts. Hi, Dave.
Hello, I'm still recovering from those goals on Saturday. How about you?
I most certainly am, Dave. What a bonkers game that was at the weekend. I loved it.
Well, it was certainly a bonkers first half, wasn't it? We don't usually see five goals in a game at Turf Moor. That'll be a stat we'll bring up later in the show.
Ooh, I did think that you might have quite a few bits to pick from that little nugget.
Yes.
I also thought as well when I was at the game, it crossed my mind, that it's not often that Burnley are the team that come out in the second half, like on the front foot and really going for it. We usually struggle a little bit coming out of the half-time team talk, don't we? I always find we're a bit sluggish, but we... statement of intent, I think, is fair to say when we came out second half.
We did, and we got that equaliser fairly early on, wasn't it? It was about 4 or 5 minutes after the break, and then after that we had a bit of a lull, didn't we? But then it could have gone either way. At the end, they had a chance that kind of flicked off the bar, and then we had that chance from Vids, which in the end it was a good save from the keeper. I think he miscontrolled it really well. Miskicked it slightly. The keeper made a good save, and it was just heartbreaking. We didn't get that that goal at the end.
Oh, where do you stand on this? Because we were talking about this at the week. I haven't seen it back yet because inexplicably, all the highlights that you can find online just omit it. It's like it was a chance for Burnley, a really amazing chance for Burnley to win it at the death in a crazy game, and it doesn't even appear on the highlights. So I haven't seen it back. Are you in camp miss or camp save? Not that it matters, but it's just curious.
It's a bit of both, because as I say, controlled it really well. Mm. He kind of half mishit it, but then the keeper made a good save as well. I think if it had got a lot more power on the shot, the keeper wouldn't have been able to make the save, and it'd been a goal and Burnley would have won it. But the keeper did well to get something on it. It went wide and it was just heartbreaking. We didn't get that that at the end, although in some ways perhaps it would have been an injustice if we'd have won the game and Palace hadn't got anything.
I literally do not care. Because there's been enough injustices against us, and that's football. Well,
there was a small matter of a blatant red card, wasn't there?
Yes, exactly. Well, did you listen to the analysis show? Tom Whittaker went completely the different way to expect it, and he's making a claim for it to be not a foul or a red card at all. So...
No.
Yeah, interesting. And then poor Rich got himself tied in knots because he started to take the mickey out of Tom and telling him he needed to go to Specsavers where he lived, and then proceeded to say it was a blatant penalty, to which we replied, Rich, it was about 10 yards outside the box, so let's not think about penalties. So yes, it was a little bit of back and forth with the old banter in the analysis show, guys. So if you've not listened to that yet, do tune in. We have a bit of a therapy session to see how we're feeling. Anyway, we digress, Dave. Let's get on with why we are here. We are here, of course, to look at Burnley's next game. Never mind the last one. Let's look at the next one. We are looking ahead at Burnley's next Premier League fixture. But before we do that, we have a quiz question that we need to address. Now, before we looked at the Palace preview show, we set our listeners a question, which was, prior to the match last weekend, which current Burnley player was the top scorer in matches against Crystal Palace at Turf Moor in all competitions? Now, this was a bit of a stickler, and I did not get this right at all. And young Dave afforded me about 45 guesses at the end of the recording, to the point where I was just literally listing Burnley players' names with no rhyme or reason. So, Dave, what was the answer? Do put us out of our misery, please.
Well, we set the question in the knowledge that the answer might change depending on who scored on Saturday's game. So we specifically wanted to know our top scorer prior to that game. The correct answer, with 3 goals, was Jay Rodriguez.
Ah.
And he scored all 3 goals during his first spell at Turf Moor in matches which took place in the Championship. They were a 90th minute goal in a 4-2 win in March 2009, going all the way back to 2009. And then two very early goals. He scored a third-minute goal in a 1-0 win in March 2011 and a second-minute goal in a 1-1 draw in March 2011. And those were, later on in 2011. They were all at Turf Moor, obviously. And also to explain, Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes have both scored twice against Crystal Palace at Turf Moor before Saturday. Although, of course, with his latest goal, Chris Wood has now joined Jay on three. Although, as we specifically asked about the situation prior to Saturday, we can only accept Jay Rodriguez as the correct answer.
Indeed, indeed. Did we get any correct answers? I'm not sure I saw any, you know, Dave.
I don't think we did, yeah, unless I'm mistaken. We didn't receive any correct answers this time. We seem to have stumped everyone. There were lots of suggestions for Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes and even a few for Ben Mee. But perhaps with Jay's goals all being during his first spell, that seems to have caught most people out.
Yeah, that, and I suspect that there was a Google outage somewhere around John Robertson's house. I'm sorry, I've not had a dig for a couple of weeks. I wanted to get that one in. Well, do not fret, listeners, because you get another chance this week to submit not only an answer, but a correct one, because we are going to be setting you another quiz question at the end of this episode. So stay tuned. Do not go anywhere. We'll be back with Dave's quiz question at the end of this show.
Premier League head-to-head.
Okay, Dave, let's preview a game. It is, of course, Tottenham Hotspur at home, Sunday the 28th of November, which is this Sunday. We are not a Saturday 3pm kickoff, which is quite nice. But once again, it's not televised anywhere in the UK, despite being Sunday and a 2pm kickoff, which I'm presuming is some kind of European move around. So
they've lost.
They've lost? What is this?
They were playing in Slovenia, I think, if I've got that right, and they lost 2-1.
Excellent. Hey, do you know what? We'll talk about this when we come to preview the show, then. I don't want to jinx it. But they're not doing that great on Young Spurs. This may be a very good chance for us to beat them, you know. Let's not get carried away. Dave, distract me. Stop it. I'm going to get carried away. Talk us through, please. Let's start with the history of this fixture. Premier League meetings. Kick us off.
Yeah, well, Tottenham are one of the teams that we've faced in all of our previous Premier League seasons. And in their seven previous Premier League visits to Turf Moor, there have been two Burnley wins, two draws and three away wins. It was too late to make any difference as Burnley were already relegated, but we came from behind to win 4-2 in our last Premier League game of 2009-10. Jack Cork, who was on loan at the time, he scored one of the goals in that match. That's, again, going back quite a way. I'm going to keep our other win in reserve for the memory match, which we'll come to very shortly. But the two draws were 0-0 in April 2015. That was 1 point towards safety. But after losing the next five after that, we were doomed to another relegation, despite wins at Hull City and Aston Villa towards the end of the season. The other draw was an entertaining 1-1 from early March 2020. And you may recall that this was our last match before lockdown restrictions put a pause to Premier League football for 3 months. That just leaves the three defeats, none of which we managed to get a goal in. They were a 2-0 defeat in April 2017, a 3-0 defeat just before Christmas in 2017, and a narrow 1-0 defeat in last season's corresponding fixture, which took place last October.
Wow.
Memory match!
And then what about the memory match then, Dave? I've got quite an intriguing video to the right of my script, which has got you throwing your arms up on the air on comms cam with Papa Bird. What have you picked for the memory match? I'm dying to hear what this is.
Well, we've already covered our 4-2 win against Spurs in the last match of the 2009-10 season. We also mentioned there'd been a more recent Premier League home win, and that took place in February 2019. The match was a Saturday lunchtime kickoff. It was live on Sky Sports, and I remember it well as I was in the commentary box that day for a rare occasion for a home game alongside Phil Bird for what was a thrilling match. At least it was in the second half, as it was a fairly cagey first 45 minutes and the match was goalless at half-time. After the half-time interval, Burnley attacked the B-hole end and Chris Wood put us into the lead in the 57th minute when he headed the ball in off the underside of the crossbar following an in-swinging right-wing corner from Dwight McNeil. The Spurs players and bench had claimed that it shouldn't have been a corner, but even the slow-motion replays were inconclusive. Then there was some more controversy just 8 minutes later. The ball went out just inside the Spurs half near to the technical areas in front of the Bob Lord stand. The fourth official quickly retrieved the ball for Danny Rose, who stole at least 10 yards and took a quick throw into Harry Kane, who advanced past Ben Mee and beat Tom Heaton with an angle shot to level the scores. However, there was still time for Burnley to snatch a winner, and all 3 points were in the 83rd minute. Johan Berg Gudmundsson's low pass across goal from the edge of the box was side-footed in by Ashley Barnes, and that's what we were celebrating in that little gif that we've got on our script here. Immediately after the final whistle, referee Mike Dean was confronted by Pochettino and his assistant, who were still disputing the decision for the corner, which led to Burnley's first goal. And they didn't take too kindly to being beaten by little old Burnley.
No, nobody ever does. We seem to rub managers up the wrong way, for sure. I'm going to get Matt to put this little gif on our socials when we publish the preview show, because it's very amusing. I don't think I've ever seen you so animated, Dave. I love it.
On this day!
On this day, then, what's happened in previous years on the day of this fixture?
Right, well, Burnley have won just 5 of the previous 21 matches we've played on the 28th of November. We started off okay with a 3-2 home win. That was against West Bromwich Albion in 1891. But that was followed by a demoralising 6-0 away defeat at Everton 5 years later in 1896. John Cameron netted a hat-trick for the home side in this match. Our next match on the 28th of November saw our second win. That was 3-2 at home to Bradford City in 1903. And that was followed 5 years later by a 1-1 draw at Leeds City in 1908, as Gerry Dawson ensured that we'd earned a point with a late penalty save. The next 7 matches on this date, between 1914 and 1970, were all away from Turf Moor, and all 7 ended in defeat. The heaviest was a 6-0 reverse at Ewood Park in 1914, with Percy Dawson scoring 4 goals, all in the first half. There was then a brief respite as we beat Bristol City 3-2 in 1981, but that was followed by another 4 defeats between 1986 and 1992. Victory number 3 was a 1-0 home win over Blackpool in 1998, thanks to an Andy Payton penalty, and that was followed 8 years later by a 2-1 home win over Leeds United at Turf Moor in 2006. Burnley have failed to win any of the last 3 matches on the 28th of November. There was a 5-3 away defeat at West Ham United in the Premier League in 2009, a memorable 2-2 draw at Cardiff City in the Championship in 2015 with a couple of very late goals to earn a point, and then a standard 5-0 away defeat at Manchester City, again in the Premier League, exactly 12 months ago. So to summarise, our overall record for the 28th of November is played 21, won 5, drawn 2 and lost 14, with 22 goals for and a rather sorry 61 against.
Ugh, we don't like those stats, Dave. Let's move swiftly on. Let's get that one out of our system.
Club Connection!
Club Connection, please. Now, this is our feature for the first half of the season, and we've been bringing you a Club Connection section on the preview show where we look at all the players who, well, not all of them, but some of the players who have spent time at both clubs, and we then focus on one player in particular. It says on my script that we've mixed it up a little bit this season, but I would quite like to clarify that Dave has mixed it up quite a little bit this season when he's decided that Roberts goes rogue and has just done whatever he wants. But normally we get a poll out into the field and say, guys, who do you want us to concentrate on? Listeners, I've got no idea what we've picked this, who we've picked this week or how we picked it. So I'm going to hand it over to Dave and let's figure out what he said.
Yeah, well, we did have a poll, and the 4 players we gave you to choose from out of the 16 who played for both clubs since World War II were the 4 players who have made 100-plus appearances for the Clarets. And they were as follows: Ralph Coates, Mitchell Thomas, Dean Marnie and Kieran Trippier. And who do you think got the most votes, Natalie?
Well, to be honest, I think that's kind of close. I'd be very surprised if it's not Trippier, but I also wouldn't be surprised if it's Dean Marnie, because Dean Marnie is a bit of a legend and we do love him. So I'm going to guess Trippier, and I say that because there's a picture of Kieran Trippier to the left of me. But I genuinely wouldn't be surprised if it had been Dean Marnie.
Yeah, Kieran Trippier won the vote. He got 45%. And Dean Marnie was quite a way back in second. So convincing winner, Kieran Trippier. And he's the player we're going to focus on this week.
Okay, knock us out the park, Dave.
Okay, well, Kieran Trippier was one of two young players Burnley signed on loan from Manchester City in the summer of 2011, when Eddie Howe was still manager. The other, of course, was Ben Mee, and we saw what they were capable of in the first few months of that season. Mm. And the decision was taken to make both signings permanent in January 2012, and what a couple of incredible signings they proved to be. Whereas Ben Mee has remained at Burnley, Kieran Trippier made the move to Spurs in the summer of 2015, when a release clause in his contract was triggered. He scored 6 goals, as well as numerous assists, in the 185 appearances he made for the Claretts over the course of 4 seasons, which also included a promotion to the Premier League in 2013-14. Unlike Ben Mee, he went on to be capped by England in 2017 while still at Spurs, and has since played a total of 35 times for his country. His one and only goal was a memorable free kick in the World Cup semi-final against Croatia in 2018, although, as we know, England went on to lose that match in extra time. In the summer of 2019, after scoring 2 goals and again getting numerous assists for Spurs in 114 appearances, he joined Atletico Madrid in a £20 million move and went on to help them win La Liga in 2020-21. He stated several times in interviews that he would like to come back and play for Sean Dyche at Burnley. So what are we waiting for? Let's get him back to Turf Moor for next season.
Definitely. Unfortunately, if we are in the Championship next season, Dave, I don't think he's going to come back. But yeah, I think we all very, very much would love to see Trippier back at Turf Moor. A lot of people state that Trips is the best player they've ever seen at Turf Moor. Do you share that view, Dave?
I don't know about that. He's certainly a fantastic player while he was with us, and we had 4 great seasons, and we were sorry to see him go. I see recently he's been linked with Eddie Howe again. There's talk of him possibly going to Newcastle in January. But
No. I'm not having that. I'm not having him going anywhere near Eddie Howe. That would break my heart to see Trippier come back and play for that clown at Newcastle. No. Who do we need to speak to about that, Dave? We must have a contact somewhere that can stop
Alan Pace, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to ring him. Oi, Pacey. No, let's not let that happen. Not on my watch. Well, that's the end of the first half of the show. Now, we've obviously looked at the history of this fixture, but it's time to return to the present for the second half, starting with our scouting report.
Scouting report!
Yeah, after making the decision to appoint Nuno Espirito Santo as their manager as recently as the end of June, Spurs made a very good start to the season, with 3-1-0 wins, including a victory over reigning champions Manchester City on the opening weekend. That earned Nuno the August Manager of the Month award. However, by the start of November, the Spurs board had got itchy feet and decided to make a change with the team 8th in the table. In came Antonio Conte, who's changed the system from a 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1 to start playing with 3 defenders in a 3-4-3 formation with attacking wing-backs. During the summer transfer window, Spurs spent in the region of £60 million on 3 players. They were right-side defender Emerson Royale, left-winger Brian Gill, as well as 18-year-old defensive midfielder Pape Sarr. They also brought in a couple of loan signings, central defender Christian Romero and goalkeeper Pierluigi Gollini. In their most recent Premier League match, that was a 2-1 home win over Leeds United, they came from behind to win that. They play with Hugo Lloris in goal, a back three of Ben Davis, Eric Dyer and Japhet Tanganga. Reguilon and Emerson were the attacking wing-backs, with Harry Winks and Pierre Hoybier in central midfield roles. Up front, Harry Kane led the line, flanked by Heung-min Son and Lucas Moura. In terms of injuries, they don't seem to have too many issues at present. Christian Romero appears to be ruled out, and Giovanni Lo Celso is a doubt, but Oliver Skip has already served a suspension. However, we are recording this prior to the pre-match press conferences, so we'll have to wait and see if there's been any further updates. For once, it isn't Harry Kane leading the way in terms of goals for Spurs. He's only scored once in the Premier League so far this season. However, he does have a habit of scoring goals against Burnley. He scored a goal for Millwall at Turf Moor in February 2012. He was on loan there as an 18-year-old, and his 8 goals against Burnley for Spurs include a hat-trick in the match we mentioned earlier, which took place at Turf Moor in December 2017. In terms of FPL points, Son, who is also Spurs' top goal scorer with 4, has 50 FPL points, with Hugo, 60 FPL points, with Hugo Lloris and Sergio Reguilon both on 50 points. Incidentally, Maxwell Cornet has now overtaken Matt Lowton to be Burnley's top FPL point scorer with 40.
Excellent stuff. I think it's probably time we check in with our opposition players, don't we, Dave? We do like to give you a bit of a balanced view, not just me and Dave talking about whatever we want to talk about. So we do like to bring you some news from the opposition camp. And this week, we ask Last Word on Spurs to provide us some insight in our opposition view.
Opposition view.
Hi there, this is a preview for the No Name Never podcast. This is Ricky Sachs here from the Last Word on Spurs. Hope you guys are keeping safe and well. Big game at the weekend for Tottenham Hotspur against the Burnley side. Let's be honest about it. Despite, like I say, them showing some promise in the last week or so, they've been out of form for the majority of the season. For Tottenham Hotspur under Antonio Conte, there is a real good feel factor around the club, despite a really, really disappointing Europa Conference League defeat to NS Mora on Thursday evening. Spurs will be hoping to get back to winning ways in the Premier League and follow on from that win against Leeds United last weekend. For Tottenham, there's a real opportunity now to try and gatecrash the top four this season, however unlikely that might be, with United closing in on a new interim manager, Chelsea in formidable form, City being Manchester City, and of course Chelsea under Tuchel going really strong. For Spurs, I don't think there'll be too many changes from their Premier League 11. I'd imagine them to keep a very much similar team. I expect Harry Kane to remain up front, hopefully to get this goal-scoring, you would say, duck off his back in the Premier League. Just the one goal so far against Newcastle United earlier in the season. I would expect Lucas Moura to feature in the Spurs side. I think Antonio Conte loves his passion, loves his desire, loves his work rate. And that's one thing with Conte that, you know, as a minimum, he'll be after, to have that work rate there for players in order to play in his football team. Of course, we saw the 11 that played in the Europa Conference League, the likes of Dele Alli, the likes of Matt Doherty, who, to be fair, showed that at the moment they're nowhere near, I believe, in contention to feature for Antonio Conte's Spurs side. And when you look at, I say, the games to come for Tottenham, they have got, you'd say, on paper, a favourable fixture list where they can really start to build some points now under Antonio Conte and really try and mount a challenge for that top four, as difficult as that may be. We all know going into this Christmas period now that if you can go on a run, you can really propel yourselves to either, like I say, have a chance to get into that top four or stave off relegation or ultimately establish yourself as a Premier League side. I will say with Burnley, I've always been impressed by the way Sean Dyche organises his teams. I know it sometimes isn't pretty on the eye. I know it sometimes isn't the most attractive football. But what he does seem to always do is he does get results in order to keep Burnley in the Premier League and as an established top tier club. I think, like I say, I've been really impressed by the striker at Burnley, the new guy, obviously, Cornell. Scored, obviously, a number of different goals already. Some real quality finishes in there. I think Spurs will have to keep their eye on him if they are to be successful in getting a result. I know many people always describe Turf Moor as a real tough place to go, but I think you guys know better than me just how poor the home form has been there over the last 12 to 18 months. So hopefully, if Spurs are on their game and they turn up prepared and ready for a battle, then I would hope and expect Spurs to walk away with all the 3 points. Therefore, on that basis, I'm going to go with a 3-1 Tottenham win. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish you guys the very best for the rest of the season, of course, apart from this game at the weekend. But most importantly, guys, as always, keep safe, keep well. I've been Ricky Sachs from The Last Word on Spurs. Thank you so much, as always, for having me on your channel and allowing me to preview the game. Take care.
Okay, referee Dave, which shambles is... I mean, I'm still sore about the weekend's performance of referees. So which absolute shambles of an official are we going to have at Turf Moor this weekend, please?
We've got Peter Banks from Liverpool. He joined the select one group of referees at the start of the 2019-20 season, and he'll be the man in the middle on Sunday. He'd already refereed a couple of our matches in the Championship in 2015-2016, They were an away win at Rotherham United and a goalless draw at home to Ipswich Town. Since then, he's only taken charge of two of Burnley's Premier League games, both of which were at Turf Moor. They were a 2-0 defeat to Crystal Palace in November 2019, as well as a 1-1 draw against Sheffield United in July 2020. He's another referee, again, who didn't take charge of any of our matches last season. Although he has already been at Turf Moor this season. He was the referee for our 1-0 defeat to Spurs in the Carabao Cup. It's quite unusual to get a referee for a cup game and then get the same one for a league game shortly afterwards. Little bit odd. There you go. The video assistant referee on Saturday will be Craig Pawson, and we can only hope that he'll pay more attention to the match than Graham Scott did last Saturday.
Yeah, not hopeful.
Statman Dave's Stat of the Week.
Well, I know you don't want to leave it there, Dave, because I know you like to treat our listeners immensely. So why don't you delve into those deep pockets of yours and let us have your miscellaneous Stat of the Week.
I've got two for the price of one this week for bonus stats, if
you'll of course you do.
Indulge me.
Go on.
And both are related to last week's match, the 3-3 draw at home to Crystal Palace. And it was certainly a mad first 45 minutes at Turf Moor on Saturday. And it was just the third time in a Premier League match involving Burnley that five goals have been scored before half-time. The other two occasions were when we trailed 5-0 at home to Manchester City in April 2010, a match which saw three goals in the first 7 minutes and which we went on to lose 6-1. Current Crystal Palace manager Patrick Vieira was in the Manchester City starting 11 that day. And then early in the 2018-19 season, we trailed 3-2 at half-time against Fulham at Craven Cottage, a match which we went on to lose 4-2. And then secondly, just for you, Natalie, Ben Mee's goal was his 11th for Burnley, and all but one have been scored with his head. It was also the third time that he'd scored for Burnley against Crystal Palace, and all three were headers in Premier League games, one at Selhurst Park and the other two at Turf Moor.
Definitely. I mean, some of our regular listeners, Graham Jennings, I am indeed looking at you, did quite rightly point out that sometimes if you guess something often enough, at some point it's going to come true. A bit like the broken clock being right at least twice a day, once a day, twice a day. But yeah, I still am going to carry on my guesses of a Ben Mee header. I was very delighted when it went in, actually. My first thought was you, Dave. I did tweet you excitedly, I do remember. So how are you feeling? I mean, it's a bit of a strange one at the moment, isn't it, Dave? We are playing better. We are starting to get points on the board. We got some fantastic points against Chelsea and Palace, which on paper just didn't really look like we were going to get. But we're still in the bottom three and we're still struggling to be able to put that run of wins together that we need to break away. I mentioned at the top of the show today that on paper Spurs at home isn't exactly the game we want to look at. But actually, they're having a bit of a shocker at the moment. So do we think this could be a game that we could get ourselves a bonus 3 points? What do you think?
You never know. I think it's going to be difficult. So obviously we've got changes we need to make. We've got a couple of suspensions. James Tarkowski and Ashley Westwood picked up their fifth yellow cards of the season. So they're serving a one-match suspension. Both of them together on Sunday. The obvious replacements, you would think, would be Nathan Collins coming straight in for Tarkey and Jack Cork in central midfield for Ashley Westwood. We'd expect that to be the case. But yeah, it's one of those. We are on a decent run in terms of not losing. We've only lost one of the last seven in the Premier League, and that, of course, was at Manchester City. But we do need to start turning some more of the draws into wins. We got that one win against Brentford, but that's the only one we've got so far this season. So we've had a lot of draws in there, and we need to get a few more victories.
Yeah, we really do, and I think that's been the concern. I think Tom Whittaker was a little bit down in the dumps. Is that maybe overplaying it a little bit? He was a little bit concerned at the weekend. He's had a sort of bad feeling all season. He's usually the positive one of us. That doesn't really matter how well we're playing or how we get points on the board. The standard of the Premier League this season is way harder than I can remember in ages and any of us can remember. So it does feel a little bit concerning that actually even though we're playing as well as we have done in previous seasons, we may very well be naturally one of the worst three teams in the league. But we still always have this ability, don't we, to get a surprise result at some point. So I'm feeling hopeful. And one of the things that we said as well, Dave, I don't know if you share this. Actually, I don't know whether or not the stats back this up. Sorry to put you on the spot. But we're scoring goals, and the teams that end up getting relegated tend to be the ones that can't score. Actually, we've got a bit of a problem at the other end of the pitch, haven't we, in terms of letting them in. I guess my question to you is, you know, do you think we can keep up this season? Do you think we can survive?
Well, I think we've got a player in Maxwell Cornet who's very clinical in front of goal. He's scored five league goals already in, six starts, seven matches in total. He came on a sub in the Arsenal game, didn't he? We've got a player who's come in who's very exciting. He's certainly shown what he's capable of already, and I think there's a lot more to come from him. And I think the way he's playing, the position he's playing, he's going to continue scoring goals for us. So that's a real boost, because I think in the past we have relied a little bit too much on Chris Wood. So if we can get Chris Wood continuing to score like he did on Saturday, and Maxwell Cornet coming in with goals and goals coming from elsewhere on the pitch, like Ben Mee as well, that's all going to help. But we can't concede three goals every game. We need to shore things up at the back. I think we have only had that one clean sheet from Nick Pope, which was against Norwich, wasn't it? We haven't had any other clean sheet so far this season, so we need to get back, ideally, winning games 1-0. That'd be good if we can get some clean sheets, score at the other end and get 3 points that way.
Yeah, I mean, the concern from that perspective, though, Dave, is clear, is that we can't be relying on Cornet either, especially as he's going to disappear in January to the African Nations Cup, and you know, we've got to, what we're going to do then? You know, we're not going to create very much then at that point. So we're going to have to be really very 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 careful. I am getting a little bit worried, but let's not dwell on that, because you know, we've still got over a half a season. We've got 2/3 of a season left, so plenty of time left yet. Plenty of time for Brentford to fall off, which would be great. What's your prediction for the Sunday game then, please, Dave? Do you think we're going to win, draw, lose? Who's going to score? You know the drill.
I'm going to be positive and go for a 1-0 win. We're going to get an elusive clean sheet and win 1-0.
Dave Roberts, who are you? What is this wizardry? I don't know what's getting into you recently, but I do. Oh, maybe that's the problem. Maybe some of our troubles this season are linked to you being too bloody positive with the goal predictions.
Right, we're going to lose 3-0.
That's better. I feel a bit more comfortable now, Dave. That's better. I'm also going to predict a win. I've got a really good feeling about the weekend, and I don't know why, but I just feel like even though things haven't quite been going for us, we are playing with a little bit of a swagger that we've been missing recently. I'm excited about Collins coming into the squad because I think he's going to play really well. So I'm going to predict a 2-0 win, and I'm going to say Cornet.
And a Ben Mee header.
And a Ben Mee header. I've got it. If it's not broke, don't fix it, Dave. That's what we're going with on this one. So, listeners, you know the drill. You know, we want to hear from you. We want a score prediction, please. We also want to know the name of the scorer. And we want to know how he's going to score, please. Send us your predictions. You can tweet us at nonenever. Are we on nonenever.net? I always forget what we are now. We're nonenever.net, aren't we?
No, that's
Nonenever. Yes. I've been doing this that long, listeners. I forget what our social handles are. Tweet us at Nonenever. You can leave us a comment on our Facebook page, or you can email us at previewshow@nonenever.net.
Fantasy Premier League update.
Okay, Dave, let's get down to business, the serious part of the preview show. It is, of course, the Nonenever Fantasy Premier League. We have gone through game week 12. Almost a third of the way through the season. And we can bring you a new update from a full game week, please, including news of who is leading the way to become the manager of the month in November. Take it away. What's been going on?
Well, there was some movement towards the top of the table following last weekend's games, although most of the names in the top five will be fairly familiar to anyone who's been listening to the update so far this season. We have down to fifth place, we've got Tall Paul. Jack Toner is up to fourth. Deck Clark is a non-mover in third place. Up to second, with a very good week, with 96 points, is Luke Lambert. And then leading the way, he's got a lead of 16 points at the top on 859, is Joe Elliott, non-mover in first place.
Excellent, excellent stuff. Manager of the month then, who's leading the way for November?
Right, well, we've got, I think, in sixth place overall, but leading the way for November is Brody Robinson. 93 points last week and then 168. That's for the couple of game weeks we've had for November so far. And in second place, I think, just in second place, is Mark Howarth on 159 for November. And Chris Horner is in third, just 1 point behind on 158. So everything to play for still for November manager month. I'm not sure how they're going to figure that, because obviously the weekend's games will definitely be in. Yeah. I think because the midweek games cross the month, I'm guessing they're all going to count in November as well. So there's some games on the 30th and then there's some on the 1st as well, our games on the 1st. So I think all of those, including the midweek games, will all be counted in November's, I think.
I think that's right as well. I think because they're all game week 13, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right, I think we do that. I think we, even if the FPL do something weird and wonderful, I think we cap it.
Well, no, we're just doing what they do because I can see their list.
Oh, in that case then, quite right, Dave, quite right. I'm trying to make things more complicated for you than they already are. As if you didn't have enough work to do, Dave.
Exactly.
Yeah, sorry. None and ever, the team, how are we all doing?
Well, not surprisingly, Adam Dennett is still top of our podcast as Mini League, although he fell to 14th place in the main No Name Never League. He's still fairly well up there. There was no change elsewhere, although my Burnley stats team closed the gap to Adam by 14 points and also leapt back up to 68th place, and that's the highest I've been so far, in the main No Name Never League table.
Wow.
Your Dingle Bells team also beat the weekly average. The weekly average was 57. Wow. You got 67. Although you did use your triple captainship, which will have helped.
Yes, it did. Look, those magic beans are there for a reason, Dave. I'm going to start using them. Everybody else.
You can only use them once, though. Yeah. That moves you back up six places from 244th to 238th. Although you're still fifth out of five wooden spoon position in our separate podcasters mini league.
How many players have we got this season in the league?
325, I think.
So I am nowhere near the bottom. I think that you, in your script, you fail to, in all the shade you throw me about beating average scores, etc., which is not going to notice young Dave, we fail to mention that for every single year I've played the non-never FPL, I've been in the relegation zone, the bottom three or just above it. And this season I've vastly improved. I'm like way above the relegation zones.
There is no relegation. We agreed that a few weeks back.
The technical relegation zone then. But I'm like, I've never been this high up the league ever. And I'm actually every single week remembering to tinker with my team. I've understood those transfer things now. I kind of understand that there are magic beans. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do with them, but I'm trying. So next season, Dave, I'm coming for you. Anyway, game week 12's team of the week. Which players should we have picked to pick up the most points?
Right, well, these 11 players would have earned you 134 points, excluding any double captain points or any bonus chips you played. And they were in a 5-3-2 formation. We had Sarr of Wolves in goal. We had our five defenders, who were Mings, Alexander-Arnold, Rudiger, James, both of Chelsea, and Cancelo of Manchester City. Our three midfielders were Mane, Højbjerg of Spurs, and Canos of Brentford. And our two strikers were Dennis of Watford and, against us, Christian Benteke of Crystal Palace, who obviously scored a couple of goals. And the highest scorer of all of those was, Tyrone Mings and Trent Alexander-Arnold both got 15 points. Although the average score for the week was 57, one manager posted 135 points, but they did use their bench boost chip, where all their bench count, their bench player points count for the week. And they'd also captain Manchester City's João Cancelo. So, yeah, there was one manager way out in front, 135 points. That would have been well up in our league if they'd have had that.
Oh, yeah.
We our leader for November has 168. That's across two game weeks. So
could you technically use all of those magic beans in 1 week, Dave?
No, you can only use one in a week.
Oh, okay. So I use that triple captain thing, and then so I can never use that again. And I couldn't.
That's gone.
So I couldn't use the other two this week.
You could use one of the other two this week.
That'll be why, because I was clicking buttons when I was just doing my team before we came on here, and I was trying to click both of them and it wouldn't let me. So I thought that I was doing something wrong, but as it turns out, I was just trying to cheat, which is excellent.
It won't let you do that.
No, it definitely didn't. The system is correct, and it's in place for a reason, to stop idiots like me getting it wrong. Well, the next time we record a preview show will be for our midweek away game against Wolves, which I think, Dave, we're recording on Sunday, are we?
We're planning to record after the Spurs game on Sunday. So that'll depending on Matt's availability, that'll probably be out on Monday, I suspect.
Yes, I believe so. So we probably won't have, well, actually, we definitely won't have updated tables for you then, because we're going to be missing midweek games, aren't we?
Well, we won't have the, it's separate for midweek, but we certainly won't have the games that are played on Sunday, because they don't tend to update on the following day.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, we will try and see if we can do something a little bit different and provide some alternate FPL content for the episode. Listeners, I don't know what that will be. Dave has slid that into our script, and I look forward to hearing from you as to what on earth we're going to do for an alternative FPL content for next week. I fear that there is something heading my way that I need to do for next week, so let's see where we get to.
All right. I don't know what it is either yet.
Oh, excellent. Well, there you go, listeners. help us out. Help us out. Somebody send us some suggestions for some alternative FPL content next week. Otherwise, it's going to be a mighty, mighty, mighty short preview show.
Statman Dave's quiz question.
Anyway, before we set off, Dave, we promised our listeners, if they stuck around and listened to us chuckling on, that we would give them a quiz question. So what have you set our listeners this week, please?
Right, well, this week's quiz question is, after the unusual sight of five goals being scored during the first half of the match against Crystal Palace, we want to know when was the last time that six goals were scored in the first half of a competitive Burnley match, either at home or away.
Ooh, and how do our listeners... Ooh, that's a tricky one. After the unusual sight of five goals being scored during the first half of the match against Crystal Palace, we want to know when was the last time that six goals were scored in the first half of a competitive Burnley match, either home or away. How do our listeners get in touch with that answer, Dave? I don't know what that is.
Well, they can tweet us or send us a direct message on Twitter. That's at NoNayNever. You can email us, dedicated preview show email address, which is previewshow@nonayneverdotnet. Or you can also reply to the post for this preview show on either the No Nay Never Facebook page or on YouTube.
Excellent. We're going to let you know the correct answer next week. Actually, we'll be able to do that before the Wolves game.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're going to have to. Yeah, you're going to have to get your answers.
Don't have long to get your answer in.
Yeah, you're going to have to get it in pre Sunday, because we're going to need to be able to get that in before the Sunday recording. So there you go. Interest, guys, if you want to submit them, do it early. Okay, Dave, before we let our lovely listeners disappear for the night, what do we have in terms of community news? Any fixture changes, gossip? What do we need to tell them?
No, I think fixtures have all been set in stone for a while now, certainly for the ones leading up to Christmas. One thing I did think off the top of my head is happy Thanksgiving to any of our listeners listening in America.
Yes,
in the United States.
Happy
Canada's different, isn't it? Canada's got different dates. I think we probably missed that already, but certainly for the good old US of A, they've got Thanksgiving this weekend, so enjoy that. And then also the only other thing I had to mention was that once again there will be collection points around the ground for the Burnley FC in the community food bank, and they'll be extremely grateful for any donations of tinned or dried foods, including soup, cereal and pasta, as well as tea bags, instant coffee or long life milk or orange juice. I think it's the West Yorkshire Clarets who are manning the bins this weekend.
Excellent. Well done at those chaps. We were miles ahead. Canada's Thanksgiving was the 11th of October. So, yes, we are. That is a very, very belated happy Thanksgiving. But, yes, happy Thanksgiving to our American listeners. There are quite a few of them, actually. They do get in touch every now and again. We get quite a lot of email correspondence from our American listeners, which is always gratefully received. I love it when our listeners write to us over email. It's like a long pen pal letter. I do love it. People should email us more. I like it. Well, that's it. That's all we've got time for this week. My thanks, as ever, go to everybody who contributed to the preview show, to Last Word on Spurs for the opposition view, Turf Moor Stadium announcer Dominic Walker for his specially recorded preview show announcements, to producer Matt, who always steps up to knit all of our outtakes out and get this out in the open. So thank you, Matt. But for Dave Roberts, of course, who is our hero and puts in all the time and effort in getting these stats together and actually producing the content for the preview show. We genuinely would not have a show without him. So thank you, Dave. Last but no means least, you, the listener, for downloading and listening to this episode. Your support is very much appreciated and we would not be here without you. The analysis show will be back on Tuesday, which we will hopefully be looking ahead at, looking back at three fantastic points against Spurs at home to add to their worries again. And as I said, Dave and I will be back before that Wolves game. We'll be recording on Sunday for another episode of the preview show. If you've got any comments, questions or suggestions, you know how to get in touch with us. And that's all we've got time for. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the preview show brought to you by the Known and Never podcast. Until next time.